Now, Father, thank you, first of all, for the lovely time we've had already singing and worshipping you and breaking bread and remembering Jesus, having your word read and thinking that we can pray to you and we come before the throne of grace. And thank you that we have a great God in you to hear us. And thank you, Father, also for the way you've been hearing us as we've been praying individually and collectively about the church build. And Father, we are so unable to see as you see, and we ask that you would continue to affirm to us what your goodwill is, and not just in building, but also in terms of our own lives, in regards to what you'd have us do in building the kingdom. Thank you for our part in doing what we can here on earth. We thank you now for your word that we're going to look at today, as we do each Sunday. We ask that you'd help us as we consider this special passage. There's great spiritual lessons here, and I ask that not so much, Lord, it's not my role really, but it's your Spirit who, I love how he just takes your word and applies it to our hearts. And I know that has to happen, and may that happen in my life and the lives of all of us here, that we would really know the work of the Spirit who has been left here for our benefit, so that we might know your ways and live lives that please you, and especially know you too. So we ask that you'd help us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last weekend, quite a number of us, up to 50 or so, Mitch remembers the numbers, we were down at the Stirling Ranges. And we had a great time down there at the Stirling Ranges, and we do miss not being here at Bassendean. And we had a great time. I've got to let you know how it was. You know, we're having this great time of fellowship as we sit around a campfire, and hear God's word and have good discussions. And of course, we have the group is split, where we have half the group may go up climbing mountains, which is really great and awesome. And then the other part of the group, they love to sit back and enjoy the serenity. So that's what they did. And reflecting on the studies. We had great weather, actually. I know we had a bit of rain. Just before it rained a fair bit, we had a storm front, and we went out and had a look at this storm front. And I reckon it was like a vortex happening about 20 k's away, so we missed that. That was good. But it was really special. And I always like to come back from camp and think, wow, we had a great camp. No one got lost. No one did any shortcuts. No one died. Everything was good. It was a great camp. On the first day when we were there, we climbed down Mount Hassel. Mount Hassel is a beautiful climb. In the middle of the range with great views. That's about 850 metres high. And then the next day we went down to the Porongarups and we climbed Nancy's Peak. There's two main climbs there. We went to Nancy's Peak where they have beautiful carry trees. Very unique carry trees in that part of the world. So that was really great. And each climb we did, I was involved in both climbs and trying to help people, especially my own grandchildren with us this time. And both Mount Hassel and Nancy's Peak, we had great weather to climb, and the clouds, we had some clouds and sunshine, and the view from the top was fantastic. Should have been there. Such great clear views. From the top you look down and you go, wow, look at that. All that farmland is like patchwork. You know, you've got the yellow canola crops, the green grain crops, and then the dark green bush reserves. Really nice. Salt lakes. Nancy's Peak, when we climbed that though, that was even better because you could see the Stirling Ranges to the north, and to the south you could see Albany. And the atmosphere was crystal clear, so you could see Middleton Beach. No joke. You could see Emu Point. You could see Mount Clarence and Mount Melville. You could see all the way around to Cozy Corner. Unbelievable. Such a clear day. Am I making you envious? It's a great camp. Oh dear me. Well, anyway, as I've been thinking over the week about the beautiful view that we had, it got me thinking about how well do we see spiritually? How well do we see? Do we have good spiritual sight or not? And it just got me thinking about this really important subject. It even got me thinking about this a day we are living in, this year that we've been living in. And I couldn't help but think of how We live in a very unusual year, as we all know. What an extraordinary year to have this COVID-19 pandemic occurring. I wonder how many of us have the spiritual eyes to behold the sovereign God at work, carrying out his purposes and plans according to his good will. And we know that all these things that God's doing in our world, he does it for a purpose. What a shake-up we've had. Why? Why would he shake us? To awaken us out of our slumber. To get us right with him. And to think that also he is just getting everything geared for one big, great event. Are we switched on to that? Do we have eyes to see it? The glorious return of Jesus. How many of us see that? You would know that we live in a world at the present time where the spiritual blindness is like no other time. Most people are absolutely blind to who God is and what he's accomplishing. And I'm not just talking about the coming of Jesus one day, soon or maybe later on. We don't know when it is. But what about the other big things? So many people are spiritually blind to who the true, let me stress that, the true God is. Lots of ideas about God, the God who suits you, but who the true God is and what he has done for us and what this life is all about and where we're heading. There are so many people in our world like no other time who are absolutely blind to these things. Isn't that true? They might have eyes to see physically, but not spiritual eyes. In fact, we know, unless you are a Christian, unless you have come to turn from your sins and turn to Christ and trusted in him, you remain spiritually blind absolutely according to God's word. You do not get it. Because only Jesus allows us to see things. It's celebrated, isn't it, in that great hymn, Amazing Grace, where we have those words, when we come to Jesus, it says, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. What a great statement when we come to know Jesus. And let me just explore with you one of the reasons, only one of the reasons, but a key reason why so many people in our world are spiritually blind is because they don't understand, they don't have the eyes to see that we live in a place where there is spiritual warfare. And we have an active devil, a real devil, who seeks to blind us to the truth. And people don't even know that. They are conned by him. Let me read an interesting verse to you. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the God, little g, the God of this fallen world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. You hear that? Blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see what? The light, who is the image of God. So the devil seeks to blind us so that we don't come to Jesus and we remain in darkness. But it goes on to say, two verses after this, that we have a great God who's working. Praise his name. And his joy is to help us to see. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, a reference to creation, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the Lord is God. He knows what's going on, and he helps us to see if we open our heart to him. So I praise God for him. So if we can see spiritually, it's all to do with God. Praise God for what he's done in your life. And if we have become a Christian, and if we can see, I want to explore this morning as we look at Mark chapter 8, how there's a danger for people who are Christians to actually have spiritual sight, but it's very dull. We don't see very well. And that's not because of God, it's because of us. And I'd like us to be challenged this morning about whether we see 20. And there's a phrase we use, if you have good sight, 20/20 vision. We live in a world where people do not have 20/20 spirit. And if we don't, then we need to regain right sight. Well, please turn with me now to Mark. We're going to look at this passage. It's a very unique passage. Where Jesus heals a man in stages. And there's a very good reason for that, as we shall find out. There's some spiritual lessons to be learnt. So Mark chapter 8, and I'd like us to read verse 22. Mark 8, 22. Implored him to touch him. Wow, a blind man. And anyway, when I look at this, I can't help but think, a blind man. Ever thought of what it would be like to be a blind person? I can imagine it, because I imagine if you had this experience, like where you go into a place where it becomes really dark and you can't see. I know I've gone caving before, and you go into the deep part of the cave, you turn your lights off, and one of the things that I remember is you feel so disorientated. You after some time, it gets a little bit frightening. Which way do you go? You can't see anything. We so rely on our eyes. I know Colin and I had an experience, which White Sparks we are. That's a pun. So here we go. We go into this cave, which is 300 metres long, meandering through it. And it's on the first turn, basically, it's dark as. So we have our headlamps on and we're going along. And I'm noticing the headlamps are fading a bit. So we keep going, and we get about halfway middle. And we had no way to know which way to go. What a picture that is of let's talk about spiritual blindness. People are like that in the world. They have no idea what life's about, which way to go. That's how it is. They don't know. They are absolutely blind. But only Jesus, he's the one who allows us to see. And I just want to look at this blind man as a picture of us. We all start off blind. A blind person cannot see anything. He doesn't know the way forward unless he has help. And we need Jesus' help to be able to see. In John's Gospel, there are great references to Jesus being the light. I'm going to read the first part of John chapter 1 and then John chapter 8. In John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, we read in this great Gospel these words about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just pausing, what a great declaration of Jesus. He is the Word. He was with God the Father, and is God himself. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things came into being by him, and apart from him nothing has come into being that has come into being. What a declaration of Jesus being the co-creator. He created with the Father. But then it says, and sometimes we miss this fourth verse, it says, in him was life. That's right, all of life came from him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men and women, of course. The light. See this reference to the light. He is the author of life. And if you don't know Jesus, you do not see what life's about. He is the light. You leave him out of your life. And so many people are like a physically blind person, but in a spiritual sense, they're walking this earth absolutely lost. He goes on to say in verses 8 and 9 of John 1, John the Baptist was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. Jesus was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every person. That's who Jesus is, the great light who came into the world so that we might not remain in darkness. I view all of this without Jesus. I cannot understand life without him. And Jesus goes on to speak about that in John 8:12. He says in John 8:12, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Life's light to live. You know, without Jesus, we're in darkness, and I can't help but picture us being like people who are blind heading towards a cliff. Without Jesus, we cannot see what's before. See that one day we're going to fall over this cliff called death and fall into hell unless we come to Jesus. We need his light to make sense of this life and to know how to get from this life eternity into heaven. And I love back to the story of Mark chapter 8. It says in Mark 8:23, Jesus took the blind man by the hand and brought him out of the village. And I just want to throw it up to you, this beautiful picture of what happens when our sight becomes restored. You know, took the hand of this man. I need Jesus to take hold of me, and I need to hold on to him. And as I do that, and as I follow him, as we're going to see in the story, suddenly our blindness goes, and we can begin to see. And that's what we all need to do. We're in darkness. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to trust in him. Or another way to put it, you need to take hold of him. You need to allow him to take hold of you, and you follow him. Then you go from darkness to light. You've all done that. If you haven't done that, you need to understand how dangerous it is to live this life without Jesus. You are lost and in darkness until you come to know the author of life, even Jesus. He is the light. We need him. But now let's have a look at some other things. And now we're going to look at how this healing is very unique. I'd like to read verse 24. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village, and after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" Jesus would never have done this before. When he healed somebody, it had a blind person to see, or a deaf person to hear, or a cripple to... There's a reason why it happens like this, and we'll see the context of it. So he says, "Do you see anything?" And the man says, "Down," which is a little bit amusing, isn't it? Wow, what kind of... Seeing things in a very dull sense, isn't that right? So seeing things in a dull way. And I can't have to see things dimly. We see... I remember one time, it was just perfect condition on games, and this deep fog came over. So what does that mean? Well, you couldn't hardly recognise each other. It was dark, and it was, thick fog, and so out of nowhere at times, we were playing these scary games, and you couldn't recognise the fog. And I can't help but think of how Jesus has a very special spiritual point. There are times there are many dull or dim sight. And you know why that's the context of this passage? Jesus' disciples were seeing things dimly. You know that? 27 onwards. Jesus says here, Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, saying, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others one of the prophets." And he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." Okay, let me first say here, Peter can see clearly who Jesus is. So he can see. Yes, he can, but there's other parts he can't see. Let's read the next bit, starting at verse 31. And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Ah, look at this. Now he can't see. So he could see who Jesus was, but he couldn't see what Jesus' mission was about. In fact, Jesus says that you are on about men. I get this story, a healing, that is done in two parts because there's a message to the disciples. You partly see, but you have dim sight. You don't understand the picture fully. So let me relate that to us. I find many of us, and let me throw myself in this, we see so dimly. Save me from my sins. But we are so dim when it comes to understanding how I'm meant to be living as a Christian. I don't get the understanding of how I don't see correctly how this world is so fallen and people are perishing and my great desire should be to reach them, to tell them about Jesus. That's how it's meant to be. Where I am not being friends with the world, but radically different from the world. It's like we have such dim sight, and as a result, we end up being compromised Christians. Christians that look like just other people of the world. Do you understand that? We're only part way there. And it's not God's fault, it's our fault. There's something that we're not doing to cause us to see. I'm going to read now the next part of Mark chapter 8 and have a look at what Jesus teaches us in regards to genuine Christianity. How many of us are living cross and follow me? If you have thought, person give an exchange for his soul. For whoever of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him. So when I think about so many of us Christians, it's telling us about follow Christ. Full stop. It's talking about completely giving up your life to Christ. Jesus, not being ashamed, sharing the gospel. That's what it says. It's not chasing the things of this world because it's not going to count in the end. It's pursuing the kingdom of God. And so I find this intriguing story of the man being healed is a paralleled picture of how we can be. We're sort of part. It's not good, because God's name is in us and we're not living as we should be. So what do we do about this? Well, we're going to now look at the next part of 25. And it says, then again, Jesus laid his hands on his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. Wow. As he continued with Jesus, this man, as he continued to be with Jesus, Jesus caused him to be able to see things clearly. And that's the key. For us to see clearly in this world, we need to have Jesus abiding with us. We need to be with him. And he will restore our sight. He will cause us to see things really, really things clearly. That means he never saw the people walking about as trees anymore. He saw trees as trees and people as people. He would be able to distinguish between. How about that, eh? Wow. Imagine seeing Jesus. So instead of being in the darkness now, instead of just being dim in sight, now the sight is dazzling. Imagine seeing Jesus. That's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to see things really, really clear. He really does. Do you know the best way for us to see things clearly? It's as old as old. You know this. You hear it from the pulpit, from Rod and I. It's the Bible that helps you to see. There's that great passage, isn't there? That Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, the thing is, when you read the Bible, you have been given revelation outside of the human experience coming in. And it's like you're climbing a hill and you get to see, because of God's Word, how things really are. It's like you climb this hill and I can see where the world fell and where we're heading. I can see what Jesus has done. I can see God's great plan. You see. So frankly, if we're not reading God's Word, we are going to be blind. Or we're going to be Christians who are dim in seeing. We're not going to understand the return of these things mentioned in the Bible and about the difficult days that we would come into before Christ's return. How God would shake up the earth. It's actually in the Word. Plagues coming upon the world. And our duty, our constant duty, preach the gospel. Do everything you can to save the lost. It becomes so clear when you read God's Word. I would urge you to be a student of God's Word, daily reading the Scriptures, allowing God's Word to be and a light unto your path. You must do that if you want to have good sight. That's what it means to be abiding in Christ. Jesus said, you must abide in me and my words. John 15, not just abide in me. He will give us glorious sight, dazzling sight. And I also would encourage us to pray earnestly about a certain area. My prayer is, Lord, help me to see. I know that I can come to the Lord with so many requests. You probably do the same. You know, we call it the shopping list. Wow. We have all these things we want to talk to the Lord about. About this person, that person, about these problems in my life. But one of the great prayers that we should give God is, Lord, help me to see. Open my eyes that I might see what you would have me do in this life. Help me to see who you are, how great. Help me to understand your purposes in this life. You need to pray it. Jesus actually taught us this. We forget this. In that prayer he taught us, he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He was teaching us to be focused upon God, God's kingdom, God's will, being caught up with that. Not your kingdom, not your will. And we need to pray these kind of prayers so that we might be seeing. And if you pray like that, it's amazing. It helps you. There's a mystery in prayer. You're talking to God about these things. I'm going to read to you now a great passage from Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 2 and 3. This is what our prayer should have in. After reading these verses, you'll understand. Jeremiah chapter 33, starting at verse. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it, The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and which you... God wants you to see. He wants great things. He wants to show you the great plans of him. God wants you to see him and behold him. Friends, this is what we need to be doing. Read his word and pray to him and plead that we might see things clearly. We're going to have dazzling sight and our lives will really matter and they will count for the kingdom and bringing glory to his name. It's really intriguing, this, I don't know how you find, Mark chapter 8 is healing, all healing in stages. Do you see the picture there given by Jesus? We start off in the dark. Where have we moved? Have we come to know Jesus? But where have we moved to? Are we still with dim sight? We need to get out of that dim sight, to have the dazzling sight of who God is and be living for him. And if we don't have the sight we should have, we're just going to be no good in leading blind people home to Jesus. If you're blind, you can't lead blind people. You need to have the right sight to be effective. So I just thought that just laid on my heart to share with you this morning. All these thoughts come to me. There I am on top of Mount Hassel and Nancy's Peak and I see the brilliant view and I was thinking about our spiritual sight. I pray that God would give us all great sight. I really would ask the Lord to help us all to love his word and to read it regularly and daily, that God would open your eyes to him and that you would know what it means to pray to him, praying specifically about your own spiritual sight, that you might see things clearly and as a result live well. And while you're standing and just before I pray, I just want to say how it's so beautiful to not be in darkness anymore. It's so really good not to be dull in sight, to be dim in sight. It is so good to see things clearly. The sight is dazzling. We just sang some songs there that are just so great. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. That is clear spiritual sight. We should love Jesus so much. We ought to dwell spiritually, our eyes open to what he did for us on the cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. I pray that God would give us such a great dose of spiritual sight that we might behold these things and live lives that are just so radically transformed. That's what the Lord needs his people to become. Realize we are quite blind. We need him to open our eyes, even though we're Christians already. We need him to open our eyes. Let's pray. So Father, as I think of my own life and how poorly I see at times, I ask for all of us that you would help us to see things so much more clearly, that you would help us to repent because of how we have got poor sight of you, because we keep on looking at the things of this world and are drawn away from you, and we're not reading our Bible as we ought and praying the prayers we should be praying for ourselves, and we end up remaining dim of sight like the disciples of old. We ask that you would help us to see and behold who you are, to be caught up in the and be lost in wonder, love and praise of you, to see the great and awesome God you are, not just to say those words but to really know it, and to see and glory in Christ and what he's done for us and what he continues to do for us. Help us to see your great work in this world, that you are a God who is near, still working in our world, still performing awesome things. Help us to see this. Help us to see our part in your kingdom, working alongside you, building each other up and helping lost people hear the gospel. Lord, please would you change us. Give us eyes to see how it should be. Give us eyes to see the path that is meant to be before us that we're walking along. And take us out, Father, of those blind paths, the paths of darkness, paths of the world. Help us to be walking in line with you. It's intriguing. We live in the year 2020. And Lord, most of us do not have 2020 vision. We are so blind. Father, please help us. Thank you so much that Jesus is the key. He truly is the light of our world. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for hearing our prayer. We look to you to answer that prayer. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.